Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Come and go with a friend, here we both win. Hotel.
So should we...
Hi, everybody.
Hi, yeah. Everyone. I'm Carrie O'Donnell.
I'm Lara Marie Shane Halls.
And this is our sexy
unique
podcast.
Regular. Third edition. Alley edition.
Third edition. Alleyway edition. Danica edition. Breathalyzer to start car edition.
Breathalyzer edition. We've all blown into breathalyzer to start the Zoom. Have you?
Karen. So just Karen, a little background. There's a new character on Vanderpump Rules who's amazing, and she's the future of the show. One of our first glimpses of her, we see her in like a blinding like LA glare in like a parking lot, starting her car by blowing into a breathalyzer.
Oh, like she's got a special drunk person's car.
Yeah.
Nice.
So she's like, car. That's like one of our first real like moments with her, and it was just, I think, a perfect. You don't need anything more than that.
That's perfect reality TV because it tells you everything you need to know about that person.
Right?
Indeed.
She's not going to be stopped by her own addictions.
No. She's going to get to happy hour by breathing into a breathalyzer.
She's empowered.
Karen, I just have to say, I know you watch reality TV or like yes. You go through like periods of, so like what are some of your all-time faves just like over the last few years or in core?
Now, is it like kind of Bravo celebrity only, or do you, because the first thing that popped into my mind was when Survivor started and how.
Oh, no, that's great.
Yeah, me anything.
Oldest of schools. Like I was on the season one Survivor train where I was like, what? And then I later felt guilty because part of what I loved was how much weight they lost on camera down to the point where they were just wrapping like a single thing around their boobs or waist and being like, yeah, it's me at the campfire or whatever. Like there was there was a little bit of eating disorder, sickness in the draw. But that was, I would say, my kind of first entree. Then I guess I would like, the Osbournes. I mean, I fell in love with that whole family. Kelly Osbourne.
Me too.
one time she accused Jack of being a racialist. And it was, I know that's maybe how they say it in some ways in England, but it was the funniest. I thought she just said it wrong. And it, everything about that whole thing, I was just like, oh yeah, I get to spy on people. Like they've made TV where I get to spy on real people. This is the dream.
It's a delight.
It is. Fly on the wall. Right? But I get to, when I watch anything, like regular TV or reality TV, I do a lot of like, who am I and who do I identify with? And then I get too into it. So if it's too dark or the people are too a certain way, I have to like, it's almost like I'm at a party with them or I'm becoming mm-hmm. them and I want to get away from it. Like,
right.
keep my indie roots or something, as if I ever could even probably get a reservation at Sir or any of these places. But like, I get to like, I get too in it. Like one time I watched a Kardashians marathon. I think I honestly watched it for 6 hours straight. And I was like, I couldn't take my eyes off it.
It's mesmerizing.
It really was. And it was like a really soothing. It was kind of a bad time and things were very harried in other parts of my life. And then suddenly it was just like everything made sense at their house. And there was just a lot of dead-eyed talking and salads. And I was like, this is the simplicity I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I it's surprising to me that I haven't gotten more into the whole Real Housewives, legacy, but because I really love rich people and I'm fast. Yeah. I want to know anything about all the things they do. But I guess I think I just didn't have like the right friend to get into it with, or I meet people like, I had a friend who explained to me what was happening on 90 Day Fiance. She was like, just watch this with me. And I was like, I can't, I'll get upset. And she's like, you won't sit down. And then I was like, well, okay. And then of course, probably 4 minutes in, I was like screaming at the TV and we were all like, it was the whole emotional roller coaster of that.
90 Day Fiance. I have just gotten into it in the last year. It is. There was a day where I watched it for 10 hours straight.
Yeah.
Like a Sunday. I couldn't, that show is next level. And the real treat of that show is going to before the 90 days when the American has to go to the foreign country. So there, it's like a power reversal. And that's what I like to see.
I think that's the one I watched because you were tweeting about the same lady that I was obsessed with who got ready in the airport bathroom for 45 minutes.
Darcy.
For her.
Darcy Silva, who is she's an identical twin, and they were on a reality show in the 2000, in the early 2000s, and they are both, it is like, she only wears coats, no pants, and she got ready in the Heathrow bathroom.
Right?
Thigh-high boots.
Thigh-high boots.
That's a good look. Honestly,
just a great look. She can rock
Balmain.
It.
I would do it in...
Balmain is shook. The collection
Balmain
is
shook
out.
At Heathrow. And she's just spraying perfume like up her legs and into her long like flasher coat. And it's just like, it's amazing.
It's a chemical attack. But also that dude that she was going to meet told her he wasn't going to pick her up because she needed to get ready. Like, see, those kinds of things that happen on those kinds of shows, then I'm like furious for 2 hours. Like there's a lot of emotional price that I pay in these shows where I kind of get so into it that I'm like, I'm legitimately angry at the dude that told her, I'm not going to pick you up, which is absolutely what he should have done. Sends a driver.
Yeah, he sends a driver and he says, he's like, I know you'll need time to brush your teeth after getting off a plane. And she just goes, oh, okay. Like, you see like a hint of like doubt or like, red flag, but she goes along with it.
Yeah, she does.
Anything for love.
Anything for love.
Anything for any love.
But the best thing about Darcy specifically is she starts off on the series dating this Dutch guy who's like half her age. He's a total nightmare, abusive, horrible. And then she finds a way to get back on the show by dating another foreign guy. So it's like, I just think she's going to keep going, just dating different men, like in foreign countries. And I think it's a great genius way to stay on TV.
Well, Also, because she seems to, on paper, have it all. Like, I feel like that's the her body type, her face, hair, the way she's put together, the fact that she can wear her jacket, no pants, and thigh-high boots and be like, I'm going into a restaurant and everything's fine. Like, when she was, that shot where she was walking into the restaurant, it was like I was walking down a sidewalk with no pants on. It was the like, feeling I had of, like, we can't do this. This isn't right. Like,
haven't you ever done? I've done. We've all done that.
A no pants,
right?
Yeah.
First date, no pants. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've all walked down the sidewalk.
She's not afraid.
We've all walked into an eatery not wearing pants.
To eat, they just get in the way. But then, like, when I watched a couple episodes of Vanderpump Rules in the early days, and like. I don't want to, I feel like I'm just going to talk a light shit, but sure. I know it'll be like, how please. Dare you? He's the greatest or whatever. But the second Jax was on camera, it was like, I felt like I had to run out of the room. There's something about that type of dude, which is extremely LA brand man, that I can't have it in my world. I don't want it in my world. Like, kind of like a
healthy person's reaction to seeing Jax. Like, that's how you know everything's going pretty good for you and, like, therapy's going well and you've really confronted, like, past life issues and you're in a good place. Mm-hmm. My reaction was, like, hot. Like, give me more.
Yeah, same.
Get in there.
I had a period where
it kind of goes back and forth.
I think I just immediately was like, he's crazy hot. That's the reason he's where he
Danger.
Is. And he's going to say something that will crush my soul. Like, if I open this door, I'm in my own living room. But literally, I'm just like, he's going to say something to me. Like, it's that weird seventh grade panic that he...
No, he does induce terror. He's a full terrorist. And I think he has, like, an ozone that you can just detect. And you're, like, you're being pulled into it, but also repelling from it. I had a period where I saw Jax, like, every week on the street.
IRL?
I saw him, the first time I ever saw him was at NASCAR. I went to a NASCAR race out in like near Palm Springs. And I said to my boyfriend, I was
ran
like,
across the track.
Yeah, I was the flag girl. And I said to my boyfriend, I feel like we're going to see the Vanderpump Rules people. And then literally 2 minutes later, he went, there they are. And we looked over and we saw all the boys together. And then we were walking down the street a few weeks later and I said, I feel like we're going to see Jax. And then he went, oh, there he is. And he was in getting a muscle shake. Like standing, like leaning on the bar. I do.
Haley Joel Osment, but with just Jax.
With fucking Jax Taylor.
Who is kind of like a dead person when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. He's ghost-like for sure. But also there was like, there was some interactions that I witnessed on that show. And I'm sure if I dug in and actually got to know them, I would care a little bit more and be less judgmental, I think. But yeah, there was just a couple interactions where I was just like, these are the kind of people that make me feel bad for wanting to be smart. Like for when I was young, wanting to be smart, because it was like clearly not the direction to go here in Los Angeles. It's like that's the vibe I start to get of like, you weren't invited to this party.
Yeah.
So direct interaction sometimes is just, it's like too much.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't interacted with them. Like Laura's probably had the most of the three of us.
I've had a lot and it's very unsettling and unsafe at the end of the day. It's like flying too close to the sun in a lot of cases.
And did you like just approach them and say, hey, I'm a fan?
Yeah, there were some, like, it was kind of back, because I started podcasting about them, like, in season 3, so it hadn't really popped off as, like, a popular show yet, so they were still, like, accessible or more accessible, and so I would just see them sometimes and be like, hey, I'm a huge fan of your work, can I give you a book of mine? And they were really excited about that.
That was a good, I think you knew that was the right, I feel like that was the right moment for you to give them, because that's like in their wheelhouse, I feel like that, you know what I mean? Like that book specifically.
Yeah, and I wasn't bullshitting either. Like I was a huge fan of their work. I wish I could say I still am, but the show has really taken a turn.
Go ahead, Karen.
What season is it?
It's season 8.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You have a full history. What a history.
what a history.
I think my favorite moment I ever had was I went to a screening of 50 Shades of Grey, like 3, and I was sitting there in the arc light, and I turned around and Stassi and Katie Maloney were sitting behind me with their friends who are cast members. And I just, it truly felt like a too close to the sun thing. I was like, wow, I felt like suddenly like very frail and like exposed. And I did hear at one point, I heard one of them go, oh, that's so nice at one point, like during the movie. And I was just like, oh, this is just this is a convergence of things.
Wait, and I love to see it.
50 Shades of Grey, like 3.
That's so nice. Oh, he's whipping her. That's nice. Yeah.
That's so nice. He took her in a plane.
He's keeping her prisoner.
He's actually really nice about this prisoner thing.
He hit her too hard, but then he apologized.
Yeah.
It's really
he has velvet. He has velvet drapes. It's nice.
There's nice leather in there.
Yeah.
It's nice.
But for Housewives, Karen, because we were talking, because that's, you kind of got into listening to us talk about Jersey Housewives. And you were, yes. I think you were articulating this feeling that first you had of like, okay.
Can I just say it's an honor to be here, because I get up in the morning and put on, I'm all up in your Patreon, put on those old episodes. Like, it was one of those kind of things where, because I've been friends with Carrie for a while, but, and he was tweeting about like, oh, I'm guesting on this podcast again, which of course, is just like, it's not about me, like scroll, scroll, scroll. And after seeing you do it 5 times, I was like, oh my God, Carrie's on a podcast. I should at least listen to it. And from Jump, which I wonder if the first one was the
New Sicilian Jersey.
Was it Logan Island? Oh, New Jersey.
It could have been. I mean, because then I also did Gallery Girls. I kind of went back, like, started here and then went back and went through. And it was just, it's been my morning routine for a while. Oh. And I've only known a couple of the people, literally probably 4 of the people you've been talking about throughout all of these people. So it's like my friends are telling me a story about other people they know. And in my mind, it's just like, these are just people you guys know. So I'm just listening to you guys basically talk shit and tell stories about people you know. That's what it feels like.
That makes me really happy.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be with you in the mornings.
Yeah, I'm happy to be part of your morning.
I'm happy that I get to talk back finally, because there's been a couple times where like, when you guys start getting into the like, what in my mind it becomes a little play where you're talking about what they're doing, then you're doing what they're doing. That's golden podcasting for me. It's so hilarious. But then also like the way you're being, I mean, not that you wouldn't be, but like the way you tell these stories of these people, like for example, that fundraiser for the baby with cancer where they started a fight, where like you're trying to tell the story and then
when Danielle Staub crashed a baby with leukemia's beef and beer benefit
with 9 actual gangsters in tow.
Well, no, with members of Hell's Angels, literally.
Oh, yeah, and a Hell's Angel.
And what did
coked out Danny and a Hell's Angel. Said,
and she went up to the baby's parents and said something like, I'll be fine or whatever. Oh man.
She's like, I can't believe this is happening to me right now. And these people are like, hey, we just took a break from the hospital, from like the neonatal ward where this baby is fighting leukemia.
Like, baby is literally holding on by a thread. We're harrowed.
Those producers are like, they're like lizard people, because they're just like, I've got the perfect benefit that we have to send them to. That's all I can think of, having worked in TV. That's all I can think of is the meeting before, where they're like, yeah, we'll just tell them this, we'll tell them that. Like the way they get them into rooms, the way they get them to interact or whatever. But that one, I was just like, yeah, these unless it was entirely fake, that's some of the most fucked up producing I've ever heard of.
They have no soul. I hope that they raised like $1 million for their baby.
She went to present a check. She kept saying, I'm here to present a check.
I'm here to with a check. And I'm then Kim G just wrote like a $30,000 shame check.
Yeah, Kim G's like, here, take it. I'm sorry about this. And then my favorite moment is there's this beautiful, and by beautiful, I mean truly chilling moment where Danielle and Kim are like, I see our boys are making trouble over there. And then they start cackling. And in the background, you see the baby's face on the big screen.
The baby on a PowerPoint. They have a PowerPoint.
And they're cackling about their boys causing her. She's like, that's what they do. And then they start laughing.
And then that's where Danielle just calls Chris a faggot in front of everyone too. It's just like dropping F-bombs left and right. Or no, Danny does.
Danny does, but Danielle, she just sits there and she goes, I'm not in control of what others say. And then she turns around. And then when they confront her about it at the reunion, she goes, I am a gay advocate. And she goes, and I've ended my friendship with him because of that. And they all go, no, that's not true.
I love the lying. I love like blatant lying and denial that people who are being recorded visually and audio are just, it's where it's like, should we roll the tape back? This is the simplest thing to prove.
Yeah.
It's hilarious, that denial. I mean, that culture is fascinating. And then just to hear people I know, kind of know, retell it to me. Like, these are, did we tell you what happened at the Preakness this weekend or whatever? We're just like, tell me everything.
It's like, we're like coming to you for
boots on the ground at Preakness. Yeah. Reporting the goings on of the week.
It's like we're meeting Karen at Dunkin' Donuts, where we all meet every morning for coffee to like talk about what happened at the Knights of Columbus beef and beer benefit.
Yes. I live for it. It's very real to me through your eyes and ears and reenactments. Also, Kim G, I picture her, just purely on the impression, is like, it's like she's like a box of Marlboro Reds with a blonde wig on top of it.
That's like a that's little stunningly accurate. Yes,
it's all your to your guys' credit.
No, she's. Marlboro. That might even be too nice. I think it's more like Salem's. But
it's like Salem 100s or Virginia Slim 100s. She's a pack really of 100s. One. Yeah.
Soft pack.
Yeah, really.
Soft
pack. Really.
She's all legs, minimal torso.
I gave you my driver, Danielle. I gave you my driver. I gave you Harry.
I love Danielle.
Danielle. Hi, Danielle.
Hi. Danielle.
So do you think that you will ever, I would almost appreciate, I like the idea of you never even watching Housewives, but just like inventing this whole world in your head.
Yeah.
It's an audio play you guys are doing for me. And it's like, you could either be making it up. It could be from TV. I don't know. There's no way for me to check. It's just, I'm trusting you that what you're telling me happened actually happened.
I would want it. Cause I think, Karen, I think you're truly one of the funniest people I've ever met. And I think I would want to see like your, what you see in your head projected onto a screen of like, watch a Real Housewives episode just from what you think. That would be like a devs moment where it's
simulation.
That would be a delight for us.
I mean, like, well, I know what Danielle Staub looks like because, well, I saw the video Simon got for you. And then I got starstruck because of the impressions you guys have done of her, where I'm like, she's a legend, or, you know, like crazy, right? So I know what she looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is like, I'm just making them brunette. And I base it on like, I worked on a clip show on E! One time where I was forced to watch a bunch of different episodes of Real Housewives of Orange County. And it was my job to write jokes about like each thing. And I literally and genuinely could not tell them apart. Like every time it was a blonde woman with big fake boobs and crazy eyelashes crying and putting their fake nails up, like crying, kind of like talking and then going like, I'm really upset, not crying, touching their eye, and then with a huge diamond. So every time I'd be like, okay, wait, her hair's a little bit blonder than her hair, or her diamond is a little bit bigger, so I know that's that one. And I think I basically took those women and made them all brunettes and like put them on the other side of the United States in my mind. And now it's just that is the, I think the closest I could get.
I think that's kind of, I mean, OC, I mean, Karen, almost, because as an Angelina, I feel like you should watch OC just in full. I think you should just do it. Because it's a whole level, it's a darkness.
It's
such a different darkness than New Jersey.
It's vapid. Like, I felt they were making jokes. I was trying to make jokes on these clips. And in the clips, they were making jokes because it was like, you know, it'd be like the button for the end of their testimonial or their, you know, whatever. And their jokes were like breaking my heart, where it's like, you know, they were like, and this is the final thing I'm going to say. And it was like the worst dumbest pun, or this just terrible idea that's like, oh no. Like, I would just get, I mean, it was not a great time in my life working on a clip show on E, but the whole thing was insanely oppressive, because part of it is me going like, oh, we're all supposed to want to look like this. This is somehow like the pinnacle of like femaleness or something, where it's just like a weird stiff face and like
Botox tears.
Your Botox tears of no expression.
No, it's like Cronenberg. It's like, it's some kind of like,
yeah, right?
Deep psyche. Like, I don't, but OC is, I mean, OC is different because they're all like definitely like Trump supporters and probably don't believe in vaccines. And
there are like Corona truthers for sure. Like Kelly Dodd, one of them who's newer, I don't know if she would have been on when you were watching, Karen, but she is just recently came out this week and gave a whole Instagram post about how coronavirus is just like God's way of thinning the herd, and like every business should open up and we just need to like get over it. And then I think Bravo or someone got in touch with her and was like, you actually like can't say that. We need you to like tell people to stay inside. Then she put a video where she like barely apologized and was like, all right, like obviously I didn't mean what I said, and I'm so like sorry if you got offended, and I really like didn't mean it that way, and make sure to stay inside and like wear a mask, and if you got offended, I'm sorry. And then just like signed off.
They're like, hey, Kelly, calls for genocide are not okay from our Bravo lounge.
Probably shouldn't direct people to their deaths outside. If you could not do that, it'd be great.
You could. I had a moment where Vicky Gumbelson, who's no longer on the show, she's like the original OG housewife of all.
And is she the tall one?
Yeah, she's the one who's always like, ah! You know, and She's in a place of woo at all times. She like kind of is where place of woo came from almost. But she, it was like the first weekend of quarantine, and I was just on my Instagram, and I was like, she came up on her stories came up on my Instagram, and I was like, Vicky definitely doesn't believe Corona is real. And then I clicked on her thing, and the first Insta story was her drinking Cosmos with her girlfriends, and her caption was, what coronavirus? And I was like, you can't make this shit up.
And once you start watching, you just know these people better than they know themselves, or just as well. And that's kind of true. The magic of the Bravo shows, and especially I think the best ones are the ones where you just like get inside their heads and you like are a part of their psyche.
It is like watching a simulation.
And there's a vulnerability to people thinking, and this is what gets me about the Real Housewives of New Jersey when you guys talk about them, is you can tell they think they're presenting one face and one kind of like, look, it's like this, and this is how I am. I'm doing an impression of you guys doing an impression. But you're watching what's really happening. So it's the way we're all dumb about ourselves, where we think, oh, I'm presenting this face and everybody thinks this about me. And of course, no one does, and it doesn't work that way. And you can't control how people interpret you. And it's it makes me think of that, where it gets me really in that vulnerable spot of like, oh no, they think they're getting away with it. And they're not. Yeah. They think it's cool.
It is. It's it's the coolest thing there is.
Trey cool. I feel like we should get into recapping VPR.
Yeah.
Let's say you tell me all of that.
We do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Karen, you're welcome to stay on if you want to. We were originally going to bring you in like partway through and have you just like pop in, say hi, and then pop out. We didn't mean to like take up your whole evening. So
yeah. No. Well, you guys recap away and I'll just like you guys go.
Okay.
I love my dumb shit about how I don't watch reality TV.
No, you were, thank you so much. That was truly a gift that you were here, and I so appreciate it, and I love you, and you're just the best. So
thank you. I love your
show. Thank you for joining. I love also that we now have like a participation like in an audience form.
Yeah.
I know. And we'll, when this is all over, I want to watch OC Housewives with the two of you.
Yeah,
absolutely. I watch any of this with you guys. I just, doing it alone is depressing too.
We'll be there to hold your hand through it.
Yeah, I need
that's
guys.
Why you need a community. Yeah, and that it's good that you're now introducing yourself to the SUP listener community, because I'm sure they'll reach out with like a lot of tips and tricks.
Yeah,
be there for you on your journey.
They're a caring crew. Don't worry,
they are a caring crew.
I just thank you for all your guidance, Sexy Unique Podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Karen. You can follow Karen on My Favorite Murder. Her amazing podcast. Follow her on Twitter at Karen Kilgariff. She's the best. You don't already know who she is, which I'm sure you already do, but get into
it. Leaving this meeting, right?
Yeah.
Leave the meeting.
Leaving the webinar.
I'm now leaving. She will be
removed.
Love you, Karen.
Love you guys. Love you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That was so great. Hey, girl.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, it's not every day that you get the biggest podcaster
I know.
In the world.
I'm like enjoying freaking your out. I'm freaking out. Karen has been a friend of mine for a while. Laura and her have been like, this had to happen. So I'm really happy that it took quarantine for it to happen. But
just got on a text chain that I will be blowing up.
I will be. Yeah, Laura.
I can't wait to abuse the text chain.
Mm-hmm. I will be revealed tonight.
She will be revealed tonight.
She will be revealed. Wait, was Karen, was she saying she saw the cameo video where I'm still not over when Danielle said, I don't know what that means. Maybe you could help me out.
I love when she goes, happy quarantine. That's why this looks like this.
And then she goes, sorry about it. Like, why are you apologizing? You look phenomenal.
I thought she was apologizing because she looked so hot, and she was like, sorry to make you feel bad for how hot she looked.
Oh, well, I hope that's what that was, because I would be like, that's what I would want from her. But I was like, at first I thought she was like making a joke, and then I thought she was like, sorry, that was awkward.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got to be quite honest with you. I need you to clarify.
I've got to be quite honest. I just also love the idea of like what Karen said about just they're all brunette about Jersey.
They are. Jersey is.
And they truly are.
Yeah.
She's so on. Really fast before we. So like just a 1 minute wellness check. How are you doing?
You know, I'm good. I could have.
You're at Sir.
A little bit earlier today, I'm in my favorite place, the Sir Alley. There's
Laura and I are both at Sir.
This table. This table is truly the mise en scène I needed to get me through.
It's our ashtray.
It is our ashtray. It feels good to be in a vintage alley.
Mm-hmm. Do you miss it?
I miss it. I don't miss Sir because I think the food there is true filth, but I do. I miss Tom Tom, and I have looked into whether or not I could postmate the cauliflower wings that they have there, but they closed early on in the core, and so I shan't be getting the wings.
Wait, did we talk about already the drama of Danica calling Saucy out on Twitter?
No, we didn't talk about that drama, and I'm fully here for it. Danica is a fucking warrior.
She is a
fucking justice.
Danica's like, you know, like, and when they were like catapulting like bodies into like the like Canada,
like in like the middle ages,
warfare. When they would just like toss like
invented that
fireballs or like bodies just like as like humans as weapons. Like Danica is that, she goes there, like she goes that far, And she came for Stassi pretty hard on Twitter.
I love it. Because Stassi tweeted, for those of you that don't know, which I'm sure everyone knows that's on this thing. But
by the Stassi way, yes, I am drinking a Red Bull, everyone. Because some people
deal with it.
Deal with that.
He needs his energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking this water bottle that goes fully invisible.
I did love, like, periodically when we were talking to Karen and you would just be like,
And then, like, I gotta hydrate. I'm not hydrating enough in court.
You were just drinking mauve.
I was drinking the void.
Gaspar Noir.
Enter the void. Enter rosemary lemon water, okay?
Love it. Speaking of the void.
Stassi was like, God, quarantine sucks so hard. Like, I wish I would give anything to, like, waitress at Surrogan or something like that. I don't even
like,
know.
It was yeah, some she was
stupid
like,
bullshit.
She was like, God, you could even find me slapping on that apron and going into Sur to waitress. Ugh. And it got like 12,000 retweets.
I know. All her tweets get like 48,000 likes. I'm like, God, the world is really coming to an end faster than we can even ever imagine.
And Danica
shot up in bed.
She went,
and she said, I will not.
What? Hey!
How dare she?
How she said, dare she? She has a Google alert, and she got on her, like, giant, like, computer.
Clapping away.
Literally, it's like the big, like, the piano and big.
Yeah, sports. From Petrovsky. From Petrovsky's apartment that's, like, three monitors.
Danica has to type. She has to literally step on each key. That's how big her computer is. It's the
that's biggest. Her keyboard that's on the floor, and then her computer is three screens across, and she hops. That's her cardio in quarantine, is her hopping from key to key to type out her responses.
She basically was like, yeah. She was basically like, while you're bitching about, like, you know, people, hardworking service industry people, like, TomTom actually was trying to help people and raise money through Cameo for people who were laid off and, like, furloughed in this time.
Yeah, she's basically like Lisa like low key is like Lisa Vanderpump isn't paying us, and the only way that we get paid is if Tom Sandoval and Tom Schwartz raise money on Cameo. So go fuck yourself, Schroeder.
Yeah. So, do you think Stassi reply to that?
Why would she?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, should we get into it? Because we have a lot to discuss.
Yeah, I have like
pages
of notes. Okay. This episode opened up when everyone was at fucking ABC bartending school. Dana and Brett are taking a bartending class. And I just thought, finally someone who works at Sur is learning how to bartend.
I know, I loved it. I love the Cardigans-esque song playing in the beginning.
That was a hot song, right?
I know, I like want that.
Yeah, I was like, that's the first time I've ever been like, whoa, who sings this? Like, should I Shazam it?
Yeah, maybe we should. I love the guy who's teaching their class looks like he deals Percocet.
Yeah, he's not well. I need a wellness check on him. He goes, his big advice, he was like, if you feel like you're overfilling the glass, just pour a little less in there. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah,
I'll and do then he that.
Was, he's like, all right, guys, got like, it under control. See ya. And he just walked off.
All those sad souls that had to like that are actually trying to learn how to bartend in hopes that they like make a buck or two, and like they're literally like, what's so dark to think about is like all the people that were in that bartending class with them are like about to like set out on their LA bartending journey, only to for months from now have their bar journeys fucking shut down because of coronavirus.
No, it's a tough blow. It's a tough blow. But it really is.
It's tough.
It's tough, but it's tough. I feel bad for them because they have to be subjected to watching Dana and Brett like flirt. Who have the chemistry of like.
They have the chemistry of like a rock on the ground.
It's the chemistry of like a street lamp.
Like a like, solitary street lamp that's like
one street lamp that's like, yeah, coming on like in dusk hour and it's like kind of orange. And you just hear it go like. Zzz.
Yeah, you hear like just like zzz, zzz, yeah, and it's flickering, and it might like trigger your epilepsy. Like that is what I feel like watching them flirt.
Yeah,
like that relationship is fake.
It's so fake. Right? Like, I mean, Dana annoyed me in this episode. I feel like, I mean, she and Sheena were involved in, I think, arguably the greatest scene I've seen in a while.
The greatest scene, yeah. Truly the piece de resistance of this season of Vanderpump Rules. But we'll get to it. Yeah. Dana says her mom taught her how to make a dirty martini at 8 years old. And thus, bartending is in her blood.
Her mom was a bartender for 30 years.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love like a lifetime bartendress.
Yeah. She was probably very joyful.
Mm-hmm. And I forgot, like, Dana, I'm like, I feel bad saying this, but Dana's so unremarkable that I'd forgotten about like her mom's passing.
Yeah.
It's like a plot point. And she said that multiple times on the show. Like, that is like a sticking point about this character. And yet I could not remember.
Well, last week it was her birthday was one of the focal points of the episode, and her birthday was her mom's birthday. So a lot of it had to do with.
So that's why, but I just never remember. Yeah.
I'm pretty unimpressed, but not, that's sad. And like, I'm, you know, I think she's.
Yeah, I have empathy.
I have empathy. Like, but she's
like, bring something to the fucking table. Give me one
thing.
Drink the
Kool-Aid a little.
Just like, get mad at someone, actually. Yeah. Like, access your rage. Then Brett tells Dana that Max slept with Kara in Vegas, who, I need more Kara.
Someone sent me her poster. Like, she's very active on Instagram, I think.
Okay, yes.
I think they're going to do a Vanderpump Vegas spinoff.
They fucking better, because Vegas is where the dark energy is brewed. It's a cauldron of darkness, and it's time to stir that up and serve it to me in a big bowl.
You just need to be ladled with Vegas.
I need a ladle of darkness stew.
Yeah, I love the flashback, though, when Lisa's FaceTiming her, and she goes, Lisa!
Hey, Lisa!
And Lisa goes,
she is Raven.
You dirty, dirty girl.
She goes, you're in so much trouble.
You're in so much trouble, you little girl.
I'm gross, Lisa.
And Brett goes, homeboy lets it fly, which is why I love him.
Because that's why I love my boy. You're going to write a book about that kid one day.
I love my boy. And then Dana literally was like, okay. Which I'm not. Like, no, I'm not. Dana goes, I have a lot of things in my life to talk about.
Except like, Max getting his dick wet.
Yeah.
But like, what in the world goes through Brett's mind? Where he thinks like Max's exploits are the thing of novels.
That kind of sounds like Sandoval. Homeboy lets it fly.
That's what I say about my boy.
God, I love my boy.
We're like, we get it. You love get Max. It.
Max. I wrote Max, who looks like he's manning the Monster Energy Drink bar at Warped Tour.
Yeah, Max is like. I just also like can't forget about their like N-word tirades on social media. Just as like a thing. I think it's important that we all remind ourselves that they were like just like willy-nilly dropping the N-bomb.
Yeah, the fact that they're still like nothing was really even said about it, and they're just still being like they're the central features of the season is just unbelievable.
They're like the hot guys that you're supposed to be like, God, you're so attractive. God. Like, I just like can't, like, you're so hot. It's unbelievable.
The bar is so low with all the, like, even Brett idolizing him. I'm like, it's just like.
With any men on the show, actually, the bar is so low. The bar is like buried underneath. The bar is like in the center of the earth. It's so low.
It's hollow earth.
It's like a magma. Is what you get when you're like trying to find the bar for men on this show.
I said the only time I've ever related to Dana and Brent is when she said, okay, want to go to Sir? And then Brett goes, no. And then she goes, me neither. And I was like, fuck.
That's real. No one wants to go there.
No.
I love that they kept that in too. You know that Lisa got steamed when she saw that.
Oh, those ungrateful children. I'll have to set a fire to see. Looks like
I have to spice things up. Looks like I've got to light a match under their ass, if you know what I mean.
You know what I mean.
And then Stassi makes Bo comb her extensions, which I was like, I love when like watching women slowly emasculate a man on TV. It's like really soothing to me.
He looks, he goes, I'm Sia. And he had like, he looked positively demented.
All his jokes, I'm just like, that's the kind of guy that you start dating and you think it's going to be great. And then slowly you realize that he's just, his jokes are so bad.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, God, I'm like stuck with this person. And then you date him for like 3 more months, hoping that you can like get whatever feelings you had in the beginning back, but they never come back.
They never come back. Although I wore a hairpiece like that once, like that bang moment when I was like, it was like during Pride weekend in 2015. During Pride. That sounds like some like, oh, sounds like me during Pride in 1997.
You just like wore a clip-on bang.
I was just like on a lot of coke and like wore like just a subtle bang, just like one bang.
I love that.
Just on, just like wearing it for like 2 hours. That sounds like me.
It's fun to do.
Sounds like me in Provincetown.
1993. You should have seen it.
You should have seen it.
Boy, the docks were full that year. Tom and Katie come over, and Tom admits that he actually did lose the marriage certificate again.
Fucking
which, like,
asshole.
Okay. I was dead. I thought that maybe they were just joking and it would be revealed. And then it's like, no, this man hates being married so much, but he cannot ever vocalize it. And all it's going to be is a series of microaggressions to diminish your relationship. And it will be like this forever until you finally get a shred of self-respect and pull the fucking plug.
It was, that was, I could tell Katie was actually really, I'm starting to feel a lot of empathy for Katie.
I have a lot of empathy for her, but I'm also like, you're in your mid-30s. It's up to you now to like pull yourself out of this K-hole. Like, have some fucking self-respect. Take like a Learning Annex class on self-esteem and like break up with this fucking fool.
Yeah, because, like, go to
a therapist. Free yourself.
Yeah.
Because you'd think after the first mix-up that I would hold on to that thing for dear life. And I just wrote, yeah, you would think.
Yeah,
you would think that. Yeah, you would think it.
You're literally not like, and she goes, technically you were married, but we didn't fully show it. So I'm like, so you're still not married.
Yeah.
You're, and that's that literally means you're not married. Abuse.
It that is literally means if you don't have proof, he basically like has wiggled and wormed his way out of making a full commitment. Like, if that happened in my relationship, first of all, I would never marry a guy like Tom fucking Schwartz. But if I did and I was Katie, that would be the last,
straw.
Like, that would be a huge fucking fight. And I'd be like, you don't want to be in this relationship. People that want to be married don't lose a marriage certificate twice.
It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, technically we're married, but I don't know.
There's no proof.
There's no proof, but I guess we're, I mean, technically we are.
And then he just goes, I'm like, you're an evil person.
God.
Bubba, I'm sorry. People? Bubba, no, I'm sorry. Bubba,
sorry, Bubba.
Bubba, no, I'm sorry. No, 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 Bubba, don't be mad.
Stassi got her IUD taken out, and she says she's going to go to the gyno to like make sure everything's cool down there. And I was like, later on, we see her at the gyno, and I'm like, okay, so you just had like a regular checkup appointment.
Yeah.
Like,
she just wants attention.
I love that now the only way to get like that they get attention on the show is to show them going on like a gynecological checkup.
Yeah.
Not even, that's not like the gynecologist just does that to you every time you go see the gynecologist.
Yeah. Katie goes,
are you trying to get pregnant?
And Stassi goes, well, we're not
trying to get pregnant.
And then Katie goes,
Bo made a face. He was like, I was like, if someone I was dating made a face like that when I was talking about maybe having a baby with them, I would also just like knife them.
I know. I actually wrote, Katie needs to just, Katie, like, this is going
like, to go on a murder spree. Yeah.
I would shoot him if I was Katie.
I hope that this whole, like, the only way that this season could and the show could redeem itself is if at the final episode, Katie goes on a full blown killing spree and kills one by one every man on the show. Violently murders them on camera.
And then, like, drives off.
And bathes in their blood, like, neon demon style. And then, like, drives off into the sunset.
And, like, moves to, like...
to, like, Taos.
Carmel.
Yeah.
And opens up, like, a rock store.
Yeah, a bead shop or something.
I think Katie could get really into rocks.
And she loves a rock.
Katie's gonna move to Moab.
Yeah, I see it for her.
Mm-hmm.
I see, like, a lot of turquoise in her future.
For sure. Katie's going to live in, like, Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm. So they have an event coming up mm-hmm. for their wine for the Witches of WeHo.
Witches of WeHo.
They have, like, a new potion for the Witches of WeHo.
Witches of WeHo. Satsiga is... She goes, Kristen should not be Bo's number one priority. And I was like, yeah, she should be all of our number one priority. Kristen, I think Stassi is starting to get triggered by... I think she's starting to, like, fall... Like, her paranoia about Kristen from a few years ago, I think, is slowly seeping back. Like, her insecurity about Kristen.
Yeah, but I really think that that's just insecurity about her relationship. And yeah. It's less about Kristen. And that's it's true. More just about, like...
Displaced anxiety.
Why do I feel... It's... If you are secure in your relationship with your man... You don't worry that Kristen Doty is going to fuck him because yeah. It takes two people to fuck. Like, Bo would have to be, like, signing on to any sort of, like, cheating scenario. So really, she's just like,
I love that you said that. Bo. It takes two people to fuck.
Yeah. Did you guys know that?
It takes two people to fuck. It takes two people to fuck. Gather what you can. Gather what you
gather
can.
What you can. Gather
what you can.
Go.
Go.
I gathered what I could today. I did some laundry. Yeah. I gathered what I motherfucking could.
Did you gather or gather?
I gathered what I could.
Stassi goes, she was like, things are awkward in the Witches of WeHo. And she goes, if we were the Witches of WeHo, we're Destiny's Child, I would be Beyonce and it's time for me to go solo. And I was like, damn. That is a statement, Stas.
That's a real statement. Also, that you're just basically saying, like, Katie and Kristen are worthless.
Oh, in the show. That is just categorically, just like, while she is deeply insecure, like, she way she can just let that roll off her tongue, like, as if that's. At
not
all
the most
acceptable.
Insane thing you've ever heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone just said, keep Beyonce's name out of your mouth. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Keep her fucking name out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Beyonce wants nothing to do with you.
Also, Stassi has, like, a new face.
They've all just had so much filler and they don't know how to keep it at a natural level because I guess they don't want a natural look, but it's just, like, jarring to compare their season one faces to their season eight faces.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not my style of plastic surgery, but I wish them all the best and I hope that they keep getting filler because it's exciting to watch them.
Me too. It's exciting to watch them molt.
Yeah. Deeply intriguing.
Molt, a place of molt.
Kristen picked up all the supplies and Katie goes, she got the banners, she got the cauldrons. And just lolled, she got the cauldrons.
That's what I want.
Yeah, a cauldron.
We cut to Valley Village and Doughty's in her little bungalow. And she goes, it's honestly cool. Like, Witches of WeHo, we built our wine brand from the ground up.
Does she know what that means? Because they basically just have, like, I think a licensing deal with Knocking Point. So, like, they don't have to do anything. Like, and I'm shocked that, like, so all they do is mention the wine on social media. They don't, it's not like they have to go find, like, a winery to partner with and, like, do taste test. They probably taste one, like, three versions of rosé and they're like, we like this one.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And how much money, can anyone say in the chat, I want to know, like, how much money do people get off these deals? Does anyone know? Not much.
Does anyone know?
And $2. $2.
$1. Gia's out stomping. Gia.
Oh, mama. Mama, we got some grapes.
More grapes.
Oh, the tomato gods are coming down. I got to go. I have to call like, the tomato.
I Googled Knocking Point to see how much revenue they bring in a year, and it said 5.7 million, but I don't know if that's like,
damn.
I don't know where they get that number. And if they're only getting 5.7, they have to pay a bunch of employees and all the people that they're doing deals with, then you're not making that much money.
Yeah.
If they're making a lot of money, they would care more about this wine.
They don't, Sassy couldn't give a shit.
It's kind of infuriating to watch, like, to be like, all you have to do, even if you're making like $3,000, like, all you have to do is just be like, yeah, which is a WEO, because you know, like, people bought that one. People like buy it.
No,
Not I.
It kind of made me sad when Kristen was pulling up. Well, first of all, when she pulled that sign out of that long bag, I thought she was pulling out a rifle. She's pulling out like a scope gun.
Wouldn't this episode have been amazing if Kristen pulled out a rifle and like locked and loaded it and headed on over to the Beverly Center for her Witches of WeHo party? Like, even if she never used it, it would have just been an intriguing thing.
Can you imagine?
I think everyone in this day and age probably should have a rifle on them.
Didn't we say had a gun for not like? Didn't we say someone had a gun for a leg?
Who had the gun for a leg? It was Lindsay. Like,
you point Lindsay had a gun.
It was she had a gun for a leg where you just go.
She fires
warning shot.
No, there was someone that fired. Oh, Lindsay had. Lindsay fired a warning shot from her gun, and she went, "I feel like Putin.
I feel like Putin."
The Federation thanks you for being here. The Federation.
Kristen's like pulling out this cute little sign she had made. I mean, she's at least doing some work.
Yeah.
Then we cut to Dana and Brett, and they're walking up. Watching them walk up in the back lot in their Sir uniforms just made me shudder.
Yeah, it's a sad. Like, it's like a funeral grudge.
It reminds like I remember like smoking a cig outside when I worked at the hotel in New York and just like smoking in the area where we could because they didn't want the guests to see us.
Oof.
Just like it's walking a dark existence. In my fucking apron.
It's prison like this alley has a specific like prison vibe to it. And then the saddest thing is that Lisa walks in.
She walks in and the hostess goes, "Hi Lisa, how are you?" And Lisa goes, "Hello, how are you?" She has no idea who she is.
And then she stops to talk to someone. And she's like, 37 years is good. Like yeah, something about.
She goes, "Happy anniversary. You're celebrating 20 years. And it's like nice looking couples. It's like, mm-hmm. And she goes, "Well, I've done 34. So that's when the hard work starts."
Great. Thanks for one-upping our fucking nice anniversary.
Thanks for making it about you, sir. At fucking sir. Yeah.
Sheena sits down to talk to Lisa, and Lisa fucking everyone's disrespecting my queen Sheena Shea, and Lisa's like, have you started your shift? And Sheena's like, yeah, I clocked in, but I thought I'd talk to you because I don't have any tables yet. And she launches into her like surgery updates, mm-hmm. which no one cares about but us. And she was like, she got 7 eggs, so. Well, now she has 16 eggs total. I pray to God that one of those eggs gets spermed up and we get a baby shishu someday.
First Lisa asked Peter to give her one goat cheese ball. A single goat cheese ball. And he literally, first of all, he looks like Gomez Adams' pansexual half-brother.
He is the Adams family.
And Lisa, and then he literally brings her a goat cheese balls and she goes, "What do you mean, one goat? Do you think I actually wanted one?" And he's like, "I'm sorry."
Lisa goes to Sir to engage in psychological torture with her employees.
Especially Peter has probably suffered a lot.
He's suffered a lot at the hands of the Vanderpumps.
"You think I just wanted one?"
"I didn't want one. I wanted a plate."
"I wanted a plate."
"I wanted a plate."
And then you just see her like slowly dig into it as like...
And Sheena sits down. She tells her that she got 7 eggs. And then she's like,
"I got 7 eggs.
She's like, I'm just waiting for like the right time, the right guy. And Lisa goes, why not Peter? He's a good old faithful dog. Come on. Yeah. Why don't you get knocked up with Peter's sperm?
Yeah.
I don't want a little idiot child that stares at the wall.
Lisa like was blackout. You walked in.
Says fully, she's on ketamine again.
Lisa was on gay. She didn't K-hole in this moment. I want one goat cheese ball. Like, that's a K-hole order.
Yeah, one goat cheese ball.
Why not Peter? He's a ripe old dog.
Good old faithful dog.
He's got good
balls. They're like, Lisa, are you on Ambien? She's like, what, darling?
What? Gumball. He's got...
Because with you, I feel like we don't get the true story. She's like trying to call bullshit on Sheena. I'm like, there's literally nothing. Sheena gives us more than anyone else in the show.
Yeah, Sheena's like, the fuck are you talking about? You, Lisa, are telling me that I'm...
Sheena's like, I'm not ready to date. I'm not ready to date. And Lisa's like, that's bullshit, malarkey, darling. Like, I know you. And then Sheena admits, like, she's like, yeah, every guy that she's dated has fucked her up in the heart and the head. And I was like, thank you for honoring that.
I have a clip. Like, I took this clip. Hold on.
It didn't bother me when one relationship had ended because it led me to the next one. If it wasn't for getting a divorce with Shay, I wouldn't have started dating Rob. If it wasn't for Rob breaking my heart, I wouldn't have started hanging out with Adam. And if it wasn't for Adam, I wouldn't have hung out with Max. But at the end of the day, all of these guys have really f***ing hurt me. F***ed me up here and here.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That was like her most sober moment ever.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, I love that. And the next step in the Sheena Lucian is to drop these loser dude friends that, like, don't care about you at all.
No.
You just gotta level up, Shishu. Like,
date in the marina.
People are not worth your time. Hang around the marina. Date a boat guy.
Hang around the marina.
Hang with some boat. Hang in the marina with the boat.
Hang with a man with a boat. Well, actually.
Maybe don't. I know one with a boat.
Yeah.
Who's a no? But like, Sheena's pissed that Matt and Brax didn't call her and check on her after her surgery. And I'm like, yeah, they fucking suck. Like, they're not your friends. They don't care about you in the same way that you care about them.
No.
But then Lisa takes it even a step further. She goes, you cannot expect that level of thoughtfulness from men that aren't your husband. And you can't expect a level of thoughtfulness from men that are your husband.
And then Sheena's like, cool, I'm going to go walk into traffic.
Yeah, she also then brings Peter back into the conversation. She goes, come on, think about Peter. His sperm has been around a long time.
She goes, half of it's probably all over this place. I'm like, oh my God. And I wrote, Lisa definitely commands Peter to give her his sperm once a month.
Yeah, she keeps
not,
like
not
a
for anything,
reserve
just
of it.
The collection.
Yeah.
It's like and part then, of psychological...
Part of the torture that she engages with, she's like,
Peter, you will give me your cum.
Someday this will be used for something.
I don't know what yet.
She's like, throws it
once
out.
A month, one vial, one load.
Where's the load?
He walks in, he like before the shift starts, and Lisa's already there, and she just goes,
Where's the load? Where is it?
He's like, please, Lisa, not this month.
Load.
It's an everlasting supply. Get with it. Go on with it.
Go on in the bathroom. Do your dirty thing. Do your dirty business. Give me the load.
Give me the load.
Then Peter turns on Sheena and he goes, on that note, you do have tables, so you need to get to work. And I was like, Jesus Christ, this is dark.
Yeah.
And then we finally get to see the scene with Sheena and Dana that is
this is when I was like, God, this show.
Uno.
I up until literally this morning when I watched it, I was like, this show sucks. And now I'm like, this show's amazing. And it's because of our fucking queen.
Yeah, it's truly she will do whatever the fuck it takes to earn the paycheck. And thank God for that, because otherwise it would be nothing.
So basically, also,
she starts out by being like, she had a horrific scooter accident in Venice where someone ran over her and literally like destroyed the palm of her hand and a knee.
And her doctor told her if it had been like 1 inch further, she could have died.
And she goes, I got to give a shout out to Chanel because the way I had it draped across me saved my life. when I was like, bless up. Thank God Sheena got on Vanderpump Rules, made enough money to buy a Chanel, and then draped it across her, and it saved her fucking life. I have no idea what the logistics of that were, and I had no idea she was even talking about a purse because she just said Chanel.
Yeah.
Then we see her like chain link Chanel purse later on in the scene. So I was like, oh, her chain. But like, what did the chain, how did it save her? I need like,
there I was. There I was swinging through the alleyways of Venice on a fun Sunday of day drinking, Sunday fun day. And all of a sudden, crash on the cement.
And you see, and she like opens up her like flap of her bandage and her skin is like falling off her. And she's like,
she literally has like a zombie hand.
Yeah.
But it's, you like, know what?
It's like how the zombie, it's like how the outbreak starts.
Yeah.
Like, comes in. Like this guy bit me.
Crash into me, but like, thank God for Chanel. It saved my life for me.
Yeah.
And Sheena's, she's already consulted with a doctor. I love consulting with the doctor. And he said that she can't do anything active like twerking or clubbing. So she can't go to Nightingale tonight.
Mm.
Mm. And then Dana goes, you're Dana a fucking mess, a but aren't we all?
Yeah.
And I was like, have some fucking respect. Look who you're talking to, Dana.
So be kind.
Yeah.
Why are they all so mean?
I don't know. There's not
Why
even like
does Dana have a beta fish on her like coffee table? She has like it's like in a like Tupperware. Plastic
Tupperware, yeah.
She goes, things aren't going well for it. And Sheena goes, oh my God, that's so funny.
I love when they try like when something's not funny to Sheena, but she doesn't feel like not laughing, so she just says, oh my God, that's so funny.
What I subscribe to that.
Same.
So Sheena reveals to Dana that she was like, so how is your birthday?
And
she's like, yeah, you know, it was good. It's hard for me because it's my mom's birthday too. And Sheena truly revealed tonight.
Truly doing the Lord's work goes, she got Dana a psychic for her birthday that so her mom could come through because her mom had got used the psychic so that her grandmother could come through and she found it to be like an incredibly healing experience.
Right.
So she got the psychic and the psychic is on standby or like available should Dana want to like channel her mother in this moment.
Well, first we're thinking this is going to be like at a later date. Like she's like, oh, I just came here to tell you like in the next week or whenever is good for you, I have a psychic that is willing to meet you. And Dana is truly unsoothed.
Dana is positively shook and
full of rage.
She's horrified, furious, but like won't let any of that come through. Like you can tell that Dana just wants to rage on Sheena right now. Like scream at her. And rip like her rail out. Her.
Stick her finger in her gash.
Yeah. Ah! Like, hit her in the knee. Yeah. Like Dana's ready to pop. And Dana just goes, you haven't lost a parent. And Sheena goes, I know, but my mom has. I love Sheena's logic. She knows.
I know.
But my mom has.
Dana's just completely dead silent. And
she goes, is she here right now? You like got her to come here.
He's like, no. She's just like, if you so happen to want it, she is available.
And she's like, not like I got Sheena's. I watched this episode twice and Sheena did not technically lie. She didn't say like, no, she's not here. She said, well, it's not like I like gave her your apartment number and said like, just come knock on the door. Like, obviously I had to like talk to you first. So she just lies by omission, but like isn't telling like an outright lie. Basically anything that happens in Team Sheena, deal with it.
But so they basically like, instead of fighting, Dana's just like, I think you should go. And Sheena's like, all right. And Sheena leaves and walks out.
I'm going to hobble off. And kind of like hops her way off the couch and then just like limps out the door to have a one-on-one with the psychic immediately outside of Dana's window.
The big reveal is the psychic is literally outside.
The psychic is named Shauna.
And she's like, she goes, And she goes, yeah, you know, and then Sheena starts talking and then Dana like slinks over to her vertical blinds and parts them and just is like, wait, like she's like, am I hearing what I'm hearing? And she walks over the window. Sheena is
listening to everything. Sheena is, yeah, I didn't think it was going to be like a problem, but I guess it's like, she's just like not ready yet. And like, it's so weird. Cause I talked to like 20 people about this and only one person said, yeah, you shouldn't do it. So like, what? And I love that Sheena asked 20 people. And I want to know who the one person was. It was like, don't do this, please. Yeah.
I love her on like a mass text. Like, hey.
Hey.
Did I bring Shauna?
A psychic named Shauna to like for Dana's birthday so she can talk to her mom. What do you think? I think that that's a very thoughtful present.
But
I understand why Dana would be like, I don't want to do this with Sheena around particularly. But like, I feel like maybe if Sheena just left and then Dana had a one-on-one with the psychic, like it was not necessarily the right time or place, but Sheena was trying to do something that she really believed in.
Yeah.
Someone says this week's VPR episode was automatically iconic because there is no Jax and Brit. Yes or yes?
Yes.
And honestly, yes. I was so happy about that. It was wonderful. Someone writes, if you had to make your zombie apocalypse squad with only Pump members, who is in your crew?
Danica. Dowdy.
Dowdy for sure. Dowdy and her shotgun.
Honestly, I think Brittany without Jax. I think Brittany would be able to like shoot.
Yeah, I think that she is a fighter.
Yeah, I could just, I mean, she's, it's hard. It's hard for me to say. Sandoval,
I would let him be. I would let Sandoval and Ariana be in the crew, but that would also be kind of hard because I know that they would look out for each other.
Yeah, I'd make Sandoval drive us.
Yeah, Sandoval would be a good driver, and then I would shoot Jax immediately. He's not to be trusted. Yeah. Like he will literally screw everything up. And also,
so would Schwartz.
Schwartz and Gainey gotta go. Yeah,
Schwartz would leave you in a ditch.
Mm-hmm. Or he would like be the reason that the zombies find you.
Mm-hmm. Sheena for fun. Sheena would probably be
fun. She'd bring like the lols and like add a little levity to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I would like to see like she'd be like, "Oh my god, they're here! I'm like gonna freak out." She's like, "I'm out." Like she wouldn't even like really try and go with the group. No. Sheena would just be like, "I'm out."
She would go to Palm Springs just like she did with COVID.
Yeah, she's a survivor, and like she would kind of like not even believe in the zombie apocalypse until it was like right in her face, and then she'd just be out.
I also think Peter would be good because you know Peter's been quietly prepping for something like that for a while.
Yeah, and he has good ponytail energy and like wife beater energy that leads me to believe that he'd be an essential force. Mm-hmm. And it's also like he'll do what you tell him to do.
Yeah, and he's a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everyone
Danica
else.
Danica in charge. Yeah,
everyone else can go.
It's every man for themselves.
Straight to hell.
Straight to hell. See you never.
What is Jack's energy like IRL? I asked for a photo with him and Schwartz and Sandoval. Schwartz was actually the most friendly, and he was. Sorry, Jax and Sandoval tried to walk away and they were like, go away, plebeian. And Schwartz was like, guys, come on, let's take a pic with them. And then they like begrudgingly came over and they didn't say one word to me. So he seems like a dick. But
yeah, I mean, Jax is a dick IRL. IRL, it's like Jax is kind of easy to game because if you're a woman and you give him like attention and kind of lay a little flirt on, he's very responsive to that. But other than that, like he'll ignore and he'll like fully like, he'll like pretend he doesn't even know you, which is a very psychotic thing to do.
We met Sandoval and Ariana at a Watch a Crappens award show and they were really sweet.
Yeah, they're great energy.
They were always happy. Sandoval was like, hey guys, want to take a shot? And we were like, no. But that's nice of you.
Yeah. I can't do shots, but I do love being asked.
Ready to pop the question?
The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique. Should we keep going?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Okay.
Dana crashes Sheena and Shauna's summit in the apartment alley. And she's like, Sheena, can I have a word with you really quick? And then she just talks down to Sheena in the apartment the whole time. She's like, I feel like we just like go through this. And like, I don't want to do that with you. And like, what the hell? And then Sheena's response, she goes, again, I'm sorry. And then like hobbles off like Sheena's over it, and I love it.
Can you imagine Sheena just like towing the psychic around West Hollywood one afternoon? Just like one of those weird, like, it just reminds me of like one of those weird nights when like it'd be like a random Wednesday and I would just get like blackout inexplicably.
Texting with Shauna. I want to know all of Sheena's texts with Shauna.
Yeah.
Like for a friend of mine, she's not like really a good friend, but I think that she'd like really love to like connect with her mom. So like, can you just like come here? Like,
I would.
And then Shauna's face when Dana comes out and she knows that she's like not ready. And she's like,
she also goes like this. She goes, oh, someone just wrote Charlie in the, I would have Charlie in the zombie squad.
Oh yeah. Charlie's
amazing.
Sure. Charlie, I respect her, but I want her to wear her outfit at the club the whole time.
Yeah. So we cut to Villa Rosa. We have confirmation that Jiggy's alive.
Yeah, he comes strolling out of like the closed area. The way he walks is so sweet. And his little fur paws.
So proud.
And Bo comes over.
Bo never wears socks. He always wears like boat shoes and like...
Bo never wears socks. Yeah, you know his feet stink. They do. find the lie. He comes over to Lisa's glass house of horrors to discuss his proposal to Stassi. And they're going to throw an engagement party at Lisa's.
Then we cut to Stassi also wearing, I think she's wearing like Chanel loafers or like tweed.
She's wearing loafers. Gucci, like tweed, hideous tweed Gucci loafers.
She's getting her.
Also, who keeps their shoes on at the gyno? I mean, I guess that you.
She sleeps in her tweed loafers.
I've never had shoes on. Has anyone here had shoes on at the gyno? No.
Hey, yeah.
No, 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 never. No. Hell no. No, 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 no one. No one, no one.
Shoes off. No, 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 no. Unhygienic. No, no, no. All right. That was
explosive. Okay, cool. Yeah, that was like wild. And also her being cute with the gyno was really made me uncomfortable. I hate this part. I was like, what the fuck? Also, like,
and the guy was so like, he was like, you could tell he was trying to be like really professional, and he was just like, hey.
He's like, your pussy's normal, girl. And she's like, hell yeah.
Like, everything, yep, everything's good. The rings are good. Everything's good. And she's like,
the rings are good.
He says that.
He did not say the rings are good.
He did. He said something about the ring, like the cervix.
The ovaries?
No, he said ring. The uterus. No. I swear to God. He said the ring.
The rings are good.
I'm sorry. I swear he said that. Oh my God.
I'm dead again.
I'm sorry to everyone. I need to go. No, Nova Ring. Because she's on birth control or something.
She's not.
Oh,
she's her IUD.
Everyone, it's I'm okay. Sorry. Okay.
Carrie doesn't know. He doesn't know.
I he doesn't swear know. He said that.
Just let him. Just let him be.
I'm sorry, everyone.
He doesn't know. It's not his responsibility to know.
But I respect it, and I respect all of your journey, and I'm, you know, pussy power, I, you know, all that.
Yeah. Kristen doesn't know about the engagement, and Lisa says that they should actually think about inviting Kristen to the engagement. I'm trying to move on from the rings are good.
I just wrote Pate Speroni, like the clown with spaghetti.
Pate Speroni.
Pate Speroni.
Hey, the rings are good. Children for everyone.
Pate Speroni. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh.
I just thought we stopped for like a serious, like a moment of silence for the rings.
Oh my God!
I'm trying to move on.
I was caught off guard by Pat Speroni.
Pat Speroni.
Pat Speroni. I'm going to go.
This is me doing Pat Speroni.
Ring of fire. Guys, I'm like sweating. I'm so embarrassed.
I'm fully dripping with sweat.
Swear to God, he said that. And I was like, that is weird. I remember thinking, okay, everyone.
I think he said the ovaries were good. Okay. He said your uterus and the ovaries are good. And maybe
I heard like, ovaries and I heard.
And rings. Yeah, I think that's what happened. I'm just lolling because if I was in the gyno appointment and he goes, yeah, your rings are good, I'd be like,
ovary, okay.
It was ovaries. We've got to get through it. What rings? What rings?
Someone just wrote, rings are lovely.
Your rings are lovely, Hebble.
Your rings are lovely, Hebble. What do you mean? I don't get it.
The rings.
And you never did.
You never did. You never did.
Okay.
Again, I'm sorry.
Again.
Again.
Laura, stop.
I'm sorry. That's you, your ring apology. Again.
Okay, I got today I was called out for misogyny on Twitter. Because someone posted a video of this horrific death in Jurassic Park, like, world or whatever, Jurassic World, where this woman Jurassic gets, like, world. This like random woman gets whisked away by a pterodactyl, dropped, and then another pterodactyl picks her up and then drops her into a pool, and then this sea monster eats her. And there was like
being like wow in that movie. That was like that movie sucked, and that was one of the highlights.
And everyone was talking. Someone was like, "Wow, this post is," and it was like going viral today. So I like, I tweeted like, "Wow, her karma is heavy. She got what she deserved." But I feel for her. Like, totally kidding. And people were so mad. Someone wrote, "Wow, this tweet brought to you by misogyny," and I was like, "No, I'm kidding."
Since when have you been like a serious person on Twitter? Never. I love anything. Love when everyone decides to get like furious and like really funnel their anger energy at a tweet about Jurassic World.
So I did an apology. I said,
I did a tweet to support you. Just said, as above, so below.
Thank you. I wrote, sorry for saying she deserved to get, you get it. So that's me saying sorry for that, and I'm sorry about the rings.
The rings are brought to you by misogyny. Another misogynist hit from one Icaro.
Classic Icaro.
Strikes again. Get Mary Brannigan on
the case. Mary Brannigan.
The rings.
Mary Brannigan.
Sounds like a case for Mary Brannigan.
Okay, so...
Charlie goes to the club in a really wild outfit that's also just, like, smoking hot.
Well, first, Bo at Lisa's house goes... Like, they're setting... Lisa's like, I'm going to throw you this engagement party for Stassi. Mm-hmm. And he's like... She's like, I have to ask you, are you going to think of inviting Christian? And she calls her Christian.
Christian.
And he goes, he's like, well, you know, her and Stassi are kind of on the outs. And Lisa goes, she goes, Christian has been an integral part of Stassi's development. It'd be a shame to see them separate. And Bo's like, what? And then we see a flashback of Kristen and Stassi like fighting over the years.
Like hugging and fighting, and Kristen like clutching her for dear life. And I was like,
Kristen has
been a
part of Stassi's development.
I was like, that's nice of Lisa to take Christian's back, but like, it's too little too late. Like, don't invite her to the thing. Fucking Stassi's gonna be furious if Christian is there, and it like is not gonna work. So just like, let it the fuck go. Move on. Also, like, you're like cheap ass. Having this party at Lisa's House of Horrors.
Yeah.
I wonder if the food at her house is as bad as the food at Sir, or if actually she knows what good food tastes like and then serves it at her dinner parties, but just reserves the like fucking Costco frozen peas for Sir.
That's what it is.
She'll have some salmon and some caviar.
Christian. Oh, Christian. And then
in the club.
Oh my god, we go to Nightingale, which is like,
kill me now.
Have you been there?
I'd rather die. No, I feel like I probably have because it seems like one of those places. Or no, is it on La Cienega?
Mm-hmm. It's by the Real Room.
I think I was there when it used to be called like Dollhouse or something like that. That's a classic spot that's been like a million different clubs. One time I was with some mutual friends of ours, and we had to meet like this super rich tech guy there that was letting us stay. We were staying in the Peninsula Hotel for like a week, just like living there because he was like paying for their suite, and I came to like hang. And then he wanted to go clubbing there, and then gave us a wad of cash. Like gave thousands of dollars of cash, and he was like, go outside and get coke out of this woman's car. And we had to like go do a drug deal. And in that moment, I was just like, if I get fucking arrested with like literally $5,000 cash, like picking up a bag of coke for this like tech dude, I'm actually going to kill myself. And then thankfully we didn't, but I was like, Shane Halls, you got to get out of these situations. You can't be doing this anymore. Like, it's truly, it's not worth it.
Lar?
Okay? I was like, true, like, Lar, are you okay? It was a real sobering moment. And then I was like, we're done with this. That was the end of a period. And then it
was
a new period.
We've all been there.
You okay, Claude?
You okay?
I was not okay. I was just like, that was the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It was not smart. And then I was like, okay, from here on out, we're turning over a new leaf. Christian.
Christian. A new Christian leaf.
A new Christian.
So they're out there all clubbing. It's Dana and Brett and Danica and Raquel and James. Just so Charlie's there.
Charlie hates Brett. And what's the like? Nothing.
Dana turns to Brett and she goes, you know, you're the most beautiful man a lot of people have seen. That's just like a fact. And Brett goes,
that's literally all they have to talk about.
Charlie sees them talking. She goes, in her confessional, she goes, run for the hills, girl. And I was like, that is right. She goes,
correct.
He's the kind of guy that would cry after sex.
I love that.
Yeah.
I feel like he's not that kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But I love that she's like trying to read him and I'm here to support. I'm like, workshop the jokes, but like, you'll get there someday, Char Char. Dana needs
big help for that comment.
Who? Dana. Yeah.
Imagine
that's all they ever say to each other. It's like he stands there going like, and then she goes, you know, you're the hottest guy anyone's ever seen. And he's like, it's bad.
Later in the episode, he goes, no, come on.
No.
No.
Then we cut to James and Brett talking about like being sober in the club. And James seems to have some perspective.
Yeah.
And like when he's like, I can hold this bottle of vodka. I don't have to drink it. And then puts it down. And I was like, okay, I'm like rooting for James.
I probably wouldn't go to a club with like less than a month of sobriety, but you know what?
Do you?
That's him. He also, James sounds gayer sober.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that it finally, like, we get to a level of realness about that, but it's going to take time.
Brett is so threatened by Danica because she has his number.
Yeah. She sees him for the real, for who he really is.
There are people like, he is such the person that, like, it's like those narcissists who, like, know that one person doesn't like them. So they like, go in on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you will love me, you know. So he's like, hey, can we get a talk? And she's like, yeah, fine.
What is there to talk about? Like, this woman does not like you. Get over it. Then James and Lala go in the stew.
Mm-hmm.
We needed them back in the stew.
Well, Danica has a great quote. They're all talking about Sheena. And Danica goes, Sheena says one thing and says another.
Totally.
Congrats to
the team. Good read.
Yeah.
Lots of people say one thing and then moments later they'll say another thing. Called speaking. Words Christian. Come out, make sentences.
yeah, they go to the studio in the valley.
And Lala, she's just like, her walking into the studio, I miss Black Elvis. Like, where is he?
Yeah.
He was an integral part of early Lala Kent music career. And I just like want him back in the mix. But she just goes in and she's like, hey, fam. And I just think that it's like very really problematic. Yeah.
She goes, what's up, family? How you be? I went, come again?
Yeah.
And they're literally like, hey.
They're like paid to be there to like put up with her, but it's also just like, get a grip. You're white.
Go.
You're a white girl.
Go home. Go home, Lala.
Just be like, hey, everyone, how are you? Oh my God, it's so good to see you. You don't have to go, hey, fam, how you be?
How you be? To these like guys who are like, hey, we're doing you a favor by letting you into our studio.
Yeah, and you're like paying them so they can't like be like tell you you're
fucking Lala is a place of rings.
She is in a place of rings. And then they sing a song, but then in one part Lala goes, solo cups in the front seat, which I was like, you're sober. So like, why do you have solo cups in the front seat?
You know I don't drink. This is it. Wait, where did I film it? Oh.
Oh, I didn't catch that part. She said, but
you know, I don't drink.
Okay. I was like, I just thought she was like glorifying solo cups in the front seat. And I was like, bitch, you don't drink. And I should have like just listened.
Sober anthem.
That was that again. I'm sorry.
Again? Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's just, James, and then James is like, he's so happy to be with her. He loves her so much. He's like,
he loves her and I root for them. He goes, this is so Kanye.
Yeah. They love each other.
He loves her. I don't trust her. I don't trust where she's coming from. I wrote like in my notes, I was like, are they actually friends? Like, seems like they're being chill and like making up and I root for their friendship. But well, also it's like very weird that Aunt piggybacking on this, she's like, so yeah, I'm going to the farm for the Witches of WeHo party. And like, it must be weird that Lala is friends with all these people that they both actively hated at one point that were truly like hateable, awful people who Lala, were exclusionary to them and like rude.
Yeah, Lala flip-flops a lot.
Lala wants acceptance. Like, she wants to be...
She wants to be a cool girl.
She's a girl who's very seduced by the Matrix.
She wants to be... She's, like, the younger... She's, like, the freshman who's friends with, like, all the seniors. Mm-hmm. She's, like, ditching all her friends to be with, like, the senior... Like, the cool senior crowd who parties.
Yeah.
Lala talks about having drunk dreams, which I was like, I relate to that.
Yeah, James related to
He's like, too. Oh my God, I have them too!
They're so trippy, mate. I was telling Raquel.
And James, then we do a flashback of James being mean to everyone, and I forgot that James told Stassi she had a dildo up her ass. Just so great.
He was always pretty funny. Like, sometimes, I think if you're gonna pull together a more damning montage of, like, bad James behavior, I think you could do like when he fucked Jenna, like when he just chugged Fireball and then went home and like fucked Kristen's friend. Like, him reading people was actually like one of the best parts of him drinking.
For sure.
In my opinion.
He's good. When he would go into Jack's, that was always the best.
Old man. He's good.
We cut to Sir. I want more of Brett Willis.
I don't know if that was Brett, old Brett. I think that was a different guy. That was old Brett? Fam. Mm-hmm. Hey, fam. Was that old Brett?
It was.
Old Brett. Yeah. Okay. I'm wrong. Again?
He's hot.
I'm sorry.
Again?
I'm sorry.
Sheena's like...
Why, though, is there a fucking B storyline about Brett being able to make a cocktail? That was like a fully serviced, like
that
part
really,
beginning, middle, and end storyline.
It was a real, real snooze.
I refute that storyline.
I object. I reject you. Sheena's like, hey, can we talk? So they go out to the parking lot, and Sheena's basically like, why the fuck didn't you text me when I was getting my procedure done and recovering from it? And Brett goes, you know, you're going through a lot with the eggs.
No. Sheena gives so much to these losers and they give her nothing. The rings. The rings. You're going through a lot with the rings.
Sheena goes, like, not saying anything. He's like, I just wanted you to be happy, you know? And she goes, not saying anything would make me happy. And then Brett goes, like, come on. That's not fair.
Sheena reads him like a cheap novel. But I wish that she'd just drop his ass. Like, you don't need people like this around you, Shishu.
He's just really dumb.
He's a really, dumb idiot. Really dumb. And more, like, friends who love you are gonna check in.
Yeah.
And not just, like, lie to you. Like, you don't need these guys' approval.
Sheena goes, I probably give too much in my friendships. And yeah, I was like, yeah, you do. Stop. Give more to yourself.
Realizations. The year of realizing things.
And then Brett's like, he's like, so he's also such a gaslighter.
Yeah.
He just, anyway. But then he goes, so I got to go back to my shift. He goes, but we'll be in touch. He's going to circle back.
All right. His circle back energy. Dana struts out in her sir dress that is truly coochie cutter levels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how do you wear that? Like, I would feel uncomfortable wearing that short of a dress. Like, on le job. And then Sheena goes, are you still upset with me? And then they talk for a while. And then Dana's whole question, she's like, why are you crying? And it's like, yeah, it's an emotional thing. Sheena cares about you. And Dana just needs to like have respect. She literally sits down with Sheena in this alley and speaks to her as though she's her manager, like as though she's the boss of Sheena.
Yeah.
She's like, it's... I feel like we keep having these types of conversations and I just like to like not have them anymore. So like, can you work on that? And I was like, bitch, like get your shit together.
I feel like she's just like turned her grief. Like she can't emote, or anytime anyone, she can't handle anyone else's emotions. Mm-mm. Her threshold is so low. So like she gets mad if someone's upset or like emotional. Why were you crying?
Why are you crying?
Why are you crying? And it's
like Sheena's an empath.
Yeah.
And like she just wanted you to have a nice time. Like doing it, you was fucking solid. Like Sheena's doing her best.
Yeah.
And like you act like you're on this like high horse. You're on Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
Ever heard of it?
Yeah, Sheena,
literally, like, hey, I'm you are not better than anyone.
Sheena's like, I'm setting you up a spike with that whole psychic thing. Like, I'm setting it up for you, and you can spike it.
Yeah.
And she didn't take the bait. And Sheena's like, hey, I've been on this show for almost 10 years. I know how to play the game. I know how to make good TV. Follow my rule. Follow my lead. And Dana thinks she knows better, and Sheena's kind of like, what the fuck are you doing? We're on Vanderpump Rules. We're on fucking like, Vanderpump Rules.
We're on fucking Vanderpump Rules. And also, Dana, if you're so mad. With
vertical blinds. If I want to bring
a psychic in.
Talk
to the psychic. Or yell at the psychic. Or yell at someone.
Yell at
all
me.
All you want to do, you want to scream at someone. I can read it all over your fucking face. Your auric field is like radiating. Like just let loose the rage.
Let it out.
Meanwhile, at the Beverly Center,
of course, this
like all comes to a climax at the Beverly Center.
It was dark. This amazing moment. Kristen walks in first. Kristen walks in and goes to the catering staff. She goes, "Hi guys." No one says anything to her, and she goes like this. She goes. Then she sets the stuff down and she goes, do you have any wine glasses over there? Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
I was like, that's me.
I love it. Krista goes, we're here to sell some wine and keep our nose to the grindstone. I love that this is her keeping her nose to the grindstone is like drinking and getting paid for it.
Yeah. Stassi and Katie come. They do nothing.
They literally just sit there like fucking haters.
Dowdy's
like, they won't even acknowledge Kristen. It's like, you guys, be normal. Like, even if I hate someone, but I have to do something with them, I have enough sense to compartmentalize. Like, yeah, we've had some problems, but now we're in business mode. So, like, I'm not going to make this awkward and weird. I'm just going to be like semi like business fake to them and like get through whatever paid party that we're having. Like, you're here to sell wine and keep
paid
the fucking grindstone. Like you can, like this could translate into money. Like what about, I'm sorry. And also like for Katie Maloney to be like iffy on this, I'm like, bitch, you don't do shit. You literally don't have a job outside of this show. Everyone else has side hustles. You have nothing. So like, why are you poo-pooing this? You need this more than anyone. Put your nose to the grindstone.
Suck it up.
Suck a dick.
Stassi immediately goes to the bar. She doesn't even say hi to Kristen. So mean.
So rude.
Kristen goes. And Kristen reads her for being like, she's like, I love how Stassi like basically doesn't have to do anything in life, but gets like the most traction out of all of us. She basically says that.
Yeah. She was like, all Stassi has to do is literally mention this on her social media. And she won't even do that, but she still gets paid. That would be infuriating. That makes me mad just by proxy.
They get interviewed by Us Weekly.
And Stassi like says nothing. I mean, I'm sure the interview lasted longer than that. And maybe it wasn't as awkward, but it also was like insane.
I wrote iconic.
Also, it is iconic. And I wish that Kristen, I think she should just take over this wine brand.
She should. I think maybe that's what she's trying to angle for.
I mean, she clearly cares about it, is going to put energy into it, and like people want to buy it. Like,
also, Kristen is an actual witch.
Yeah, she is a witch.
She's like Madame.
Just change it to like the Witch of WeHo, and like sell the wine.
Marcos
Christian.
I said she should stage a coup.
Yeah, take it over, babe. I would buy it just to support Kristen getting those two succubi out of her life.
All the crew gathers. Ariana is wasted, and I love it.
Ariana's shit-faced. You know, like, now all she, like, the only way she can be on the show and interact with these people is to, like, drink excessively.
Yeah.
So that's, like, what she's going to do. Danica challenges Tom Sandoval to a softball game.
Yeah, you were not into this.
Look, as a former softball player and bisexual, the softball game excited me, but as a viewer of Vanderpump Rules, it infuriated me because I'm like, this is like a cheap shot for like, if nothing is going on to the point that you have to stage a softball game, like, fuck off.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'll watch it, but I won't be happy about it.
No.
But at least someone will finally be cleaning the putrid bathrooms of either Sir or Tom Tom.
Yeah.
Because if you've been there, you know the bathrooms are never clean.
I just have to say, there's this amazing moment where you see like a bunch of people talking, and then all of a sudden Gina, you just cuts it. It's such an amazing soundbite. Hold on. I had a surgery and like no one called me and checked on me. It's just like a quick cut.
I had a surgery.
Bo looks at, he's like checking in with Stassi about Kristen, and he goes, are you going to invite Kristen to your birthday next year? And I was like, what reality are we in where, like, that's a question? Like, you are adults. You're going to invite Kristen to your birthday next year? And Stassi goes, I don't know. I'm like, oh, my God. That's what you're in for? It's also insane
that, like, he asked her a series of questions. Because, like, I didn't realize that Kristen was the one that introduced Bo and Stassi to each other. So like, and she's been friends with Bo longer than anyone. And so like, I mean, while it is also like annoying that Bo would just keep asking her questions, it's also insane that Stassi is at a work event and like can't just be like, hey, can we not talk about this right now? Like, I just don't like handle it in a normal way, and instead starts crying and bitching and eventually working yourself into such a tizzy that you're screaming at your boyfriend during a work party.
Who's going to propose to you the next day.
Who's literally like, why are you fucking asking me that? I'm like, it's like, what are you talking about? Like, can you not just like communicate normally and be like, I don't know. Like, I'm in a really weird place with her and like, look at, like, make a joke and like move on. Like, you're at a work event. Like, this is your job right now. Like, a side hustle that you're making bank off of is to have, like, you're at a party that someone else paid for. Go mingle and talk to people and like sell your stupid, shitty wine. What's the fucking problem? Who are you?
She sees Kristen talking to Bo and she turns to Katie and she's like, this is weirding me out. And then Kristen's literally pressing him again, being like, why is she your priority?
I live for Kristen.
Like, I live for it. And I know that
Kristen... You're overstepping.
Oh, for sure. And you know there's a small part of Kristen that's like doing it. She knows that she's getting under Stassi's skin.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that hint of like the betrayal in the past with Jax is still, so she's like kind of tapping into that and getting her hooks into it. And I love
it. Oh, absolutely. Because also it's like, this is the cycle that they love to play out is like Stassi and Katie are ignoring her. So she knows the only way that she can get attention is to like talk to Bo and act like into him. And then Stassi will engage with her.
Yeah.
It's like, it's psychotic, but it's an effective way to get Stassi to like notice you and engage with you.
Yeah. She's like deeply obsessed with Stassi.
Yeah. And then she goes, Bo comes up and she immediately starts getting weird. And she goes, are we still friends? Then he's like, I can't, are we friends? Yeah. Can I come up to you and give you like a huge hug like in the past? No.
They have kind of a weird.
It's weird. It's really weird. And then Kristen goes, he's like, she goes, so you're afraid of her. Which I was like, yeah. As he should be. She's his fucking cash cow.
Do you think they fucked? Like, before Stassi?
Maybe.
They have, I don't know, I get the little bit of that. Oh.
Hey, fam, do you think they fucked?
I guess that's a yes.
Yes, I bet. Maybe. Yeah. No.
It's like this.
Yes.
She always feels like yes. This. I mean, it's only about her.
She goes, so you're afraid of her? So you're afraid of her.
Kristen's Blair Witch. She's Heather in Blair Witch.
Kristen is the fucking Blair Witch. When you go into the woods of Massachusetts, you walk and walk and walk and end up at a brick house and you go inside and Kristen's there.
I love that face you just did though.
She is. She's so afraid of her.
Are you afraid of her? And then Stassi finally.
Afraid of her.
Stassi, instead of scowling in the corner, walks up. And then Kristen turns around and she goes, I'm just trying to talk to my friend.
She goes, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And Kristen goes, I'm trying to talk to my friend.
And Stassi goes, my boyfriend? Such a weird thing to say. And Kristen goes, inappropriate attitude at a wine party. And she walks away.
This is an inappropriate conversation, not about a wine party. I love literally me at any given time.
I'm trying to talk to my friend. I love that. I'm trying to talk to my friend.
She knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
She does. She likes to like poke at people mm-hmm. until they give her the reaction. It's like she registers anger as the same as love.
Yeah.
So it's like, even if someone's screaming at her, it's better than them ignoring her.
Yeah. All she wants is Stassi's attention.
Yeah. So then Stassi just turns her rage on Bo and starts screaming at him and like scream crying. I was like, you're literally acting like a 12-year-old right
and
now.
You're at your own, you're at your work event. You're
at your own work event. Like, get your shit together.
And Bo starts, he like faux cries at one point. And he goes, why are you so affected by this?
He's like,
he goes, why are you so affected by this?
I can't believe you're doing this to me. You can either go home to Kristen or you can go home to me. I'm your person. Am I not? Am I not?
Am I not? Am I not? And then she goes, I'm going.
Look at me.
And she goes, I'm going home.
And you won't even look at me. And then it keeps cutting.
I'm your person, Bo. Am I not? Am I not? Am I not?
And look at me. The drama of her am I not is like, she's
looking
herself. It's like suddenly at the end of the am I not, she's realizing that maybe she isn't his person.
Yeah.
Like, bitch, you're fucking delusional. She's worked at the Beverly Center. Like, get it. Like, get over it. Like, this also, is literally your boyfriend.
The truth came out when she said, are you coming home to me or Kristen? I was like, you are living in 2013 right now.
Yeah. Like, he's not. Yeah. He's going to be like, I'm going home to Kristen. I want to fuck Kristen.
He's proposing to her tomorrow.
He's literally your husband. Like, get a grip.
It was like, when she said, am I not? It was like different cuts away of each am I not? Am I not? Am I not?
Am I not? Am I not? Am I not? And then you see Sheena at one point going.
And she goes, I'm going home.
That's it. I'm going home.
I just wrote, whoa.
I wrote, lol. And then.
Great engagement.
Katie sitting there in full catatonic ketamine, Katie is like, she's like, she is, you know, she is. Yes. Like, what? Like, Katie just lives to serve Stassi. She's like a full underling at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's just like,
not even just, if my friend was acting like that, I'd be like, hey, let's like, take a break. You're getting a little bit heated. Like, let's go over here. Or like, do you need to go to the bathroom? Or I'd try and like intervene. And then I'd be like, you're acting kind of crazy. Like, you're really going.
But they don't have real friendships. They don't in a real friendship. Like, you could, if that's your best friend, you could take them inside and be like, hey, you're being fucking crazy right now. Stop.
Like, get a grip.
You would, you're a friend. If you're a real friend would chastise you a little.
Yeah.
She's afraid of
it. Just be like, Kristen is not trying to fuck Bo. I'm like, you just need to like, that's not what this is.
Instead, she goes like this. It's okay.
Yeah, she is. Just like dead-eyed.
You know,
like I know Schwartz has sucked the life out of you, but like, please bring something to the table. Please, please, please.
Am I not?
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 Look at me.
Look at me.
I love you.
Look at me. And he goes, why are you so affected by this?
I was like, oh my God.
Good luck to you too. A lifetime of happiness awaits, I'm sure.
Kristen, though, or Katie. Anyway. Wow.
Carrie, thank you so much for being here with me.
Laura, thank you so much for having me.
Laura, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for being a light in my life in these dark times. And thank you all so much for listening, for chiming in.
Love you guys for chiming in, for telling us yes and no. And I just wish you guys all love and light.
Follow Laura Carrie, Mars Marie.
Follow Carrie at eCarrieO.
Yeah,
you can get Sup merch if you want.
Oh, yeah. This would have been our night in New York, so we're just so happy that we got to at least do something, and to be with you all on this is amazing, and it's birthday is tomorrow. It's a great birthday eve. So.
And we love y'all.
Love y'all.
Bye.
I know I'm feeling, cause I know.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.